Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. And as we begin the program, yes, it has been pre-recorded to accommodate both his schedule and today my schedule as well. So I really appreciate his patience with us. And with that, Tom, good afternoon, or actually good evening, since you're some 5 hours ahead of us. And how is it there in London?
Oh, wet and miserable. Ah, the rain was just pouring down. It's let up now, but, it was almost monsoon conditions.
Is this typical weather for you?
Yeah. There's no such thing as typical weather in Britain. You know, the reason the British always talk about the weather is because it's always changing.
That's very true. I can appreciate that. That is fascinating. All right, let's talk about other issues there. And Tom, the question has to go, I think, right at the opening. The events here in the U.S., I'm curious how much coverage certain things are happening. Let's start with the sad story of Jeffrey Epstein, or Epstein, and how much coverage is that getting there in the European press?
A lot of coverage. There's two things. One is that of the 1,000, roughly 1,000 people in Epstein's little black book, something like 300 of them are British, including such luminaries as Prince Andrew, Richard Branson, and Tony Blair.
Wow.
And of course, there's the rather sketchy, shadowy figure of Ghislaine Maxwell, who's the daughter of the late disgraced British newspaper tycoon Robert Maxwell. And so, there's a lot of coverage. How are they implicated? Are they implicated? The palace says Prince Andrew has never done anything wrong. There's no suggestion, of course, at the moment that. Other than I think they do have some woman who's come forward and said Prince Andrew did do something wrong. There's no suggestion that Tony Blair or Richard Branson, are in any way involved in any of the sexploits or sex games or sex parties of Jeffrey Epstein. If you're a billionaire, you meet powerful people and they go into your little black book. But it's still fascinating reading for the tabloid press over here and the readers of the tabloid newspapers. The other thing, of course, is people were a bit surprised when President Trump retweeted a tweet which suggested that the conspiracy theory that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered by people supporting Bill Clinton.
Right. And of course, the Clintons apparently have connections with Jeffrey Epstein as well.
Everyone seems to, including Trump, to say Trump in any way. was messing around with Epstein girls.
Right.
But it seems like everyone knew Jeffrey Epstein.
It is fascinating how, in this day and age, because of high finance and transportation and the ability to travel all around the world, and we'll get into the issue of transportation here in a few minutes, has, if you will, shrunk the world, that an individual such as a Jeffrey Epstein can have that much of an impact. I don't want to say influence, but an impact. So that is getting coverage. Since we're in the area of personalities, let's talk about the issues associated with other personalities and celebrities. Placido Domingo, the renowned Italian tenor, of course, recently accused of sexual harassment. Also, of course, he has a concert that was planned in San Francisco. The San Francisco Opera has canceled the conference, all related to the sexual harassment charges. And recognizing that opera is a predominantly, well, I shouldn't say predominantly, but has a great deal of European flair to it. Is there much coverage of that? It seems to have...
It's certainly being covered. Placido Domingo was one of the three tenors, of course.
Right.
And he's very popular here, popular opera.
Right.
And it's certainly being covered, not in great detail.
Good.
But it's up there in the European press.
This goes to the hashtag Me Too movement. It, of course, it started in the U.S. It's not been getting a lot of coverage or effort here recently. I'm just curious, is there a growing interest in that movement there in the European community?
I don't think it's caught the imagination quite like it has in the U.S.
Yeah,
but it's certainly here.
Okay, and then one other celebrity story, and this, of course, related to ASAP Rocky, who is back in the States. What's the status of that story there?
He was found guilty.
Oh, was he?
He was found guilty and given a suspended 2-year sentence.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you that people in Europe, especially in Sweden, are very, very angry at the way Trump has handled this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by demanding ASAP Rocky's release and sending over your hostage negotiator, basically, he was saying that Sweden does not have a fair judicial system. And, you know, it's a bit like if a Swede was arrested in the U.S., it would be like the Swedish prime minister saying, you have to release him because he is Swedish.
Wait a second.
And to say, as Trump said, you have to release him because of all the things we do for Sweden. That has nothing to do with it. There's a law.
Okay.
And you have to abide by the law in the country that you're visiting.
Well, I appreciate the criticism. Of course, it's not as if the U.S. judicial system doesn't face criticism by the European community as a regular process as well. And related to...
No, but but people go through the process. To say that he shouldn't go through the process at all is what Trump was saying.
Well, he was going through a process of negotiations, so we'll leave it at that.
No, yes. Legal process.
That was a legal process. Let's move on to other.
Let's do not have a fair judicial system.
Well, that's the accusation's been made of the U.S. As a matter of fact, we're trying to arrange for a removal of some folks to the U.S., but it's not happening because there's discomfort with our U.S. judicial system. So I'm smiling at it. It's I'm intrigued that this has upset that many people. Let's move on to other items here in the United States for a few more minutes with you, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. The issue, I see you've got a note here, gun control. What's the status on that in relationship to, I guess, the events here in the States?
Well, it's still being covered. You know, people don't think there's going to be much change. The Europeans, they don't trust the NRA or Trump or Mitch McConnell. But I wanted to bring it up because, two things, mm-hmm. which you may not have been aware of. The Japanese Foreign Ministry has put out a travel advisory.
Right.
Advising Japanese citizens against visiting the United States, against visiting the United States as tourists because of gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And there's also been an article in The Australian recently suggesting that the Australian Parliament or the Australian government should do the same.
Hmm.
I mean, that is the perception people have of the United States at the moment, that it is so violent that you shouldn't even be visiting on a holiday.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That hasn't raised the eyebrows of the U.S. tourist market industry at this point. I have not seen many stories to that effect. I've seen reports.
No, that's why I thought I'd bring it to your attention.
Well, that being said, do you think it has much of an influence?
Well, I've heard people say that, you know, they wouldn't want to visit the United States for that reason.
Okay.
It's the perception. I know that, you know, the chances of being shot by a stray bullet in Boston are very, 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 very low. But at the same time, you know, that is what gets reported, is these mass shootings, the high homicide rate, mm-hmm. and everything else. And it has an effect on how people view the possibility of going on vacation to America.
Question. Of course, we're talking about the experiences in Dayton and also in El Paso. But I'm curious about coverage of events, for example, in Chicago and New York and some of these large urban markets. Does that play a role in this conversation, or is it focused primarily on those recent calamitous events in El Paso?
The calamitous events are usually a peg upon which to hang a wider analysis of the problem of gun control and homicides generally and suicides generally in the United States.
Okay.
So they start off by reporting a mass shooting, uh-huh, and then, you know, do these in-depth analyses of what it's like in various parts of the country.
And the other aspect of this, of course, is to look at the political arrangement. I'm just wondering, does Europe pay any attention to the nature of the political environments in which some of these standard events are taking place? For example, Chicago and New York. I'm wondering, is there any consideration of the actual cities versus the country at large?
I haven't seen much about Chicago and New York. Certainly, you know, there was a lot of analysis about Baltimore.
Okay.
Following the dispute or row between Elijah Cummings and President Trump.
Right.
And they look at the socioeconomic conditions in the large cities and things like that. So the answer is a qualified yes.
All right. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, before we go to the break, I want to go back to the topic of Jeffrey Epstein very quickly and ask, is there any consideration that, or any thought that we talked about his death a few moments ago? Have the details of his death been covered? I failed to ask that question earlier.
Yes, they did go into details that he hung himself with the torn bedsheet and everything else, that he's believed to have 2 weeks beforehand tried to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why wasn't he on suicide watch? All those things have been covered.
Okay, I wondered about that. All right, we're going to get back to details more here about the events around the world here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England, and I just make mention of the fact that it's raining there, or has been raining there. He's some 5 hours ahead of us, so maybe he's getting the rain that we would otherwise be getting, although I don't think the weather patterns are very similar at all. But also, just to share with you, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. Tom, let's stick with the U.S. here for a few more minutes and then get on to issues. And this will segue beautifully into areas of European interest. But the United States, and I want to start with the U.S. and the issues of tariffs and the relationship with China. Is that of grave concern to the world politic?
Yes, it is a very grave concern. It's increasing concern because they really do appear to be biting. The IMF has downgraded world growth. The German economy has dipped into negative growth. The British economy has dipped into negative growth. And the two factors which are said to be contributing to this are Brexit and tariffs.
Okay. Brexit. I was going to get to Brexit. We'll get to that in a few moments. Talking about the German economy, and we chatted about this briefly before we began the program, I did see that story that German economy is headed looking towards a recession. And it was interesting. One of the notes associated to the German economy was the auto industry. And it noted that the auto industry is in a period of decline. And it gave as two reasons. I want to see if you've seen or seen any information to this effect. One was tighter emissions for the auto industry. And the other one I find interesting, and we'll talk about this as well, digitization. Now, I'm making an assumption on the digitization, but it's a logical assumption that basically what we're seeing is less travel, more time spent basically in computer technology, the ability for folks to work remotely. They do not have to travel to work, things of this nature. I'm intrigued by the impact that's having on the German industry, but also the topic of tighter emissions. So what is the, opinion again to the German economy, which has been key to all of Europe? And I would argue, much of the bolstering of Europe as it faces Brexit. So talk to us briefly about Germany.
Well, the German economy is the third largest in the world.
Okay.
So it's not just Europe. It's the engine of Europe.
Uh-huh.
And Certainly the emission scandal, which emerged a couple years ago, is still causing problems for the German car industry. They're still having to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
The digitization is a very good insight on your part. I hadn't really thought about that, and I hadn't seen much reported about it. But it certainly makes sense. I know that we order all of our food now online.
Wow.
I don't go to bookshops anymore. I order everything from Amazon, usually buying used library books because that's all I can afford. I buy part of my clothes online, and I work from home. And an increasing number of people are following my example.
Right. You are a trendsetter, I've got to admit. And by the way, related to the your comment about books and all you can afford, you're making a great effort towards recycling. I credit you for doing that. Better you read it than it go into the trash. So this I credit you for that one. Tom, associated with this, and let's look at the issue of the economic world economy. The other aspect is the United States and UK, and of course we'll get back to Brexit here on that. What about the trade deal between the US and the United Kingdom?
Well, we just had John Bolton here telling us that the United States desperately wants to have a trade deal. They want Britain to do a no-deal Brexit. There'd be no problem having a no-deal Brexit and negotiating a trade deal that... they see no problem with WTO rules, that they want to speed up any negotiations by doing it in segments. So maybe a separate deal for manufacturing now and maybe later one covering agricultural goods and then later one covering financial services. He says that there's going to be easy bipartisan support for it, that there was no problem from Congress. But of course, today Nancy Pelosi said exactly the opposite. She said that that Congress will not approve any Brexit deal or any US-UK trade deal unless there's an open border between North and South Ireland, which Boris Johnson says there won't be. I don't know which one's correct. I suppose Nancy Pelosi, being Speaker of the House, might know more about what the House is doing than John Bolton.
Okay, here's a quick question for you. You've been critical, as has the European community, about the president's involvement in Brexit. And now we have the Speaker of the House, who obviously is impressing herself on the issue of Brexit, especially in relationship to the open border issue in Ireland, which, of course, goes beyond just tariffs, as you've discussed. And we'll give you time to explain that again. But it goes beyond just tariffs. It also goes to politics and religion,
violence,
et cetera. What was the response to Speaker Pelosi's remarks? Have they been accepted, or has the...
She just made them literally a couple of hours ago, so there hasn't been time to be a response. I should think that Boris Johnson will be very critical of it.
How about the rest of Parliament?
Then people who are opposed to Brexit or opposed to no-deal Brexit would be very much in support of it. Remember, this country is very, very divided over the issue.
Again, I go back to the fact that we have a U.S. politician injecting U.S. political interest into the issue of Brexit strikes me, whether you support or oppose Brexit, would be resented. That, you know, you've expressed the resentment of on the part of President Trump. But what
certainly,
about
certainly what happened before the referendum when Obama came out and said the UK would go to the back of the queue in any trade negotiation?
Yeah,
and a lot of people resented that, but now it's sort of become accepted that the US will be expressing its opinion. Generally people almost expect Trump to get involved in some way or another because that's what he does.
He
sticks his foot in everything.
so does the Speaker.
He has an opinion on everything. as for the Nancy Pelosi, she's a Democrat. And the Irish lobby is very strong in the Democratic Party. So I think it would be very difficult for the Democrats to support anything which had a bad effect on the Good Friday Agreement between North and South Ireland.
Okay, and very quickly, before we move on to other items, tell folks about the issue of North. I don't know how the open border is such a critical issue.
Well, it's a critical issue because it's absolutely crucial to the Good Friday Agreement that they have this exchange of people, ideas, and trade and everything else. It helps to reduce the prospect of violence. If Northern Ireland goes with the rest of the UK out of the EU, then they have to have a hard border to check on the goods that go back and forth between North and South Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Things like live animals,
mm-hmm.
Drugs, pharmaceuticals, things like that have to be checked. If they're not checked, then you lay yourself open to all sorts of health regulations and health problems and smuggling and so forth.
So the question, of course, goes to the issue of violence. Why is there some concern related to violence in this case?
Well, it's just that it's a bit difficult to explain, other than that the Catholic Irish want to feel as if they're part of Catholic Southern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a hard border, they just feel more detached.
Okay. And then, and of course, it was the Protestants and Catholic, the IRA, and Sinn Féin that were at odds. And of course, there was basically open warfare.
The Protestants would love to have a hard border because that ties them more closely to mainland Britain.
Okay. So it's perceived, it is unique and unusual that there seems to be a, if you will, a religious component to this debate, and something that we here in the States don't quite, I fully, personally, do not fully understand. I actually have friends who, I dare say it, are Catholic, but be that as is, no one pays any attention to that issue here in the States. So
no, but for years the Catholics were prejudiced against.
I know, but it's just
there were laws preventing Catholics from holding certain jobs.
Understand that was history. The interesting aspect of this, and I find that Catholicism and religion and Protestantism have become a sticking point in what is becoming a highly secular region of the world, and I say from the United Kingdom all the way across Europe. It's just surprising. So it's something that many here in the States don't quite, I for sure, do not fully understand. All right, we'll get
That's
back.
That's why it's important to study history.
Understood. All right, we'll come back to that and more here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240. As we wrap it up on the issue of Brexit and tariffs, I want to move to other items happening there in the European community before we get to China, North Korea. Brexit and the tariffs. What is the future of Brexit right now in light of the fact that, as you mentioned a moment ago, Mr. Bolton, National Security Advisor, I know, NSA, came to say that the U.S. is ready to, well, basically tear down the tariffs and to work with Brexit. What's the future of Brexit at this point?
Well, at the moment, we will leave on the 31st of October. That is the default position.
No change yet.
And Boris Johnson seems to be putting down so many red lines, the main one being that, he will impose a hard border, which is completely unacceptable, a hard border in Ireland, which is completely unacceptable to the EU and to the Irish, and that the EU have to accept it. So he's absolutely adamant that do or die, they will leave on the 31st of October. There's a question. He does not have the support in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be a very strong possibility that he will suspend Parliament in order that Parliament cannot block a no-deal Brexit.
Who's
that is getting people very angry. There's also the possibility that the Queen could be dragged into the debate. She may take the view that you know, Boris Johnson cannot suspend Parliament. He has to go to her and ask her to suspend, or what they call prorogue, Parliament. And she may refuse to do it, which, of course, creates a constitutional crisis. So it really is a bit of a dog's dinner.
All right. And nothing has changed since our last conversation at this point.
No, nothing has changed, other than people are just getting angrier and angrier.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see the political fallout. What are the chances of Mr. Johnson being recalled?
What are the chances? Who knows?
Okay. I didn't know if there would be a vote of confidence, no, vote of confidence, vote of no confidence, if it's possible. All right. Let's move on to other issues happening around the European community. Let's go to the Russian protests.
Yeah, now this is very interesting. The Russian protests. What's caused the Russian protests? What's caused the Russian protests is basically a throwback to the Soviet days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's probably not very well known. I learned this when I went to East Germany during the Cold War. But they did allow things like a liberal party. Officially they had a liberal party, they had a conservative party, but they were all underneath the umbrella of the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be a candidate, whether you were liberal or conservative or whatever, you had to be approved by the Communist Party and first be a member of the Communist Party.
Right.
And basically, that's what Putin's doing now. He's saying, you know, in order to run for office, I have to approve you.
Ah.
I have to approve everyone who runs for election.
Okay.
So it's a lot like what the mullahs are doing in Iran. So it's not at all democratic. It's a throwback to the Soviet system.
But what about the protests? Are the protests having any influence?
The protests are becoming increasingly violent.
Okay.
By the police, there's a lot more police brutality. They are certainly growing in force. It started off with a few hundred, and now there are literally tens of thousands of people on the streets in Moscow. While we're on the subject of Russia, I want to just simply raise the explosion in the Arctic.
Good.
By the missile.
Yes.
There's some stuff that came out of the British Royal United Service Institute as to what caused it. Mm-hmm. And what sort of missile it was. And I think it's very disturbing. They think it was a missile which was powered by a nuclear engine.
Exactly.
So it wasn't a nuclear weapon that went off. It was the engine that exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And this engine was basically, it enabled the missile to have an unlimited range,
mm-hmm.
and to travel at four or five times the speed of a normal ICBM.
Right, hypersonic.
As it traveled, it spewed radiation. And finally, they think it was a cruise missile.
Wow.
And so it had increased accuracy, increased range, increased speed.
And lethality. Real quick question before we move on to other items. Is the European community expressing any, taking any action against Russia as a result?
No, not okay. At this stage. No.
All right.
It's an accident.
But
the European community is not a, it's not like NATO. It's not a defense organization.
Right. I understand. No, I'm just curious what action might be taken. Let's move on to other items. And let's go to now, the Pacific, North Korea and Japan. And of course, the decision by North Korea to launch missiles recently. And I'm curious about the impact of this also in South Korea. How is this being covered there in the European community? What's the concern?
Well, I thought it might be interesting. I don't know if it's been covered in American press, but Shinzo Abe has been on the phone to President Trump. He is furious, absolutely livid with Trump.
Mm-hmm. How come?
And the reason is because Trump says these missiles have nothing to do with us. We're not worried about them. I'm still having a wonderful relation with Kim Jong-un.
Right.
They can't reach us. They can only reach South Korea and Japan. Which, of course, Shinzo Abe said, well, yes, they can reach us. And we're supposed to be defended by you. We have an alliance. And Trump's response to that is, well, we're spending too much on it anyway. This also raises the possibility of the Japanese spending a lot more money on the defense,
right,
which Shinzo Abe would like to do, But there is a big debate within Japan,
right.
ongoing debate, you know,
as a result,
would this be a return to Japanese militarism?
Right.
Do we want to go down this route? No, we don't. Yes, we do. That sort of thing.
Okay, the other aspect of this, and by the way, did this get covered, that apparently Kim Jong-un did express some, well, some concerns about the launches and supposedly apologized to President Trump. Have you heard that?
Grain of salt.
Okay.
Boulder of salt. if he was concerned, he wouldn't have launched.
We tend to agree with you. Let's move on to Hong Kong, China. This is a big story.
It's a huge story. And I think let's start with Trump's latest tweet,
mm-hmm.
where he basically called for calm and reason and let's everyone be careful. Let's hope that nobody gets hurt. That was one of his latest. The other one was that the intelligence reports that Chinese troops were gathering on the border with Hong Kong. These troops, by the way, are according to my sources, they are paramilitary or military police.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 10,000 of them. There's about 5,000 to 6,000 similar troops based in barracks in Hong Kong. Why isn't Trump's tweet stronger? Why isn't he issuing some sort of warning like, you know, we will stand by human rights protesters in Hong Kong or something like that? It's because the United States really can't do anything.
Right.
Neither can any European country. We're simply not in a position
right.
to do anything any more than we were in a position to do anything about Tiananmen Square. So all we can do at the most is bleat from the sidelines.
And hope for calm. Now, here's a quick question, because I want to move to Guatemala here very quickly before we go to the break. And that has to do with the relationship with China and the European community. Does this in any way influence the concerns associated with trade with China or any of the other relations? It's one of those situations where, and I acknowledge your observation, that there really is not much that anyone can do about this, but at the same time, you know, any influence that could be had through sanctions or critical remarks would
this is really difficult because you're right. If they do anything, there were sanctions after Tiananmen Square,
right?
I would expect there'd be some sort of sanctions, they'd be cutting off their nose to spite the face. You know, China is the second biggest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world economy is not exactly in a nosedive situation, but it's not doing very well.
Right.
So if you impose sanctions against the second biggest economy in the world, are you, in fact, damaging your own economy in doing so?
But what about the economy of China? I mean, China, likewise, has actually had a major decline in its growth. And
well, exactly. And this is the sort of thing which could really push it over the edge a bit.
Okay.
They need Hong Kong. 61% of all foreign direct investment into Hong Kong into China is channeled through Hong Kong.
Right.
Because Hong Kong is subject to British basic law.
Right.
They hoped that after Hong Kong was handed over to China, that Shanghai would replace Hong Kong as the major funnel for investment. It has not. It is Hong Kong still, because British law applies in Hong Kong and to businesses who are registered in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I think that's also a message to the Chinese and the Chinese government. All right, let's move on to another item very quickly, but we've got to go to a break, and I want to bring up two other issues. I'm waiting for the final conclusion of the interview today with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio about bee therapy, and that's BEE therapy. We'll get to that. But before we do that, new Guatemalan president wants to renegotiate immigration deal with Trump. That is President Trump. What is the opinion there on that, very quickly?
Well, they've got a new president, and one of the reasons he was elected to replace Jimmy Morales is because people do not like the deal that Morales struck with Trump, which basically said, you've got to keep your immigrants there in Guatemala, and anyone passing through Guatemala on the way to Mexico and the United States has to be detained or kept in Guatemala.
Right.
And the new president is saying, we don't have the facilities to do this.
Well,
you know, basically, you're asking us to do the impossible. Well, we don't have the police. We don't have the money. We don't have the
understood.
The but physical but, infrastructure to handle it. We can't do it.
All right. The other aspect of that is everybody expects that the U.S. will be able to do it. And that's a frustration we're experiencing here. All right. Back to issues. And we're going to get to two other items here in just a moment. I want to remind folks we're talking with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, joining us from London, England. And yes, this portion of the program is being pre-recorded to accommodate his schedule. He's some 5 hours ahead of us and my schedule today here on View. Viewpoints. Again, coming up in just a moment, bee therapy. I'm looking forward to hearing this more on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, I just mentioned to you, we would put aside the issue of Yemen, but very quickly, let's talk about that because I want to talk about that and Greta Thunberg and then the bee therapy. What's happening in Yemen and Saudi Arabia?
Well, very interesting. They used to be allies, right. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, but now they're fighting each other in Yemen. And I think this could have very long-term consequences because United Arab Emirates has been spending a lot of money on defense. I think they're trying to set themselves up as an alternative force in the Arabian Peninsula.
This will be very interesting. The UAE has never been much in the way of very active in... I mean, they funded, but they haven't been necessarily active in military actions, have they?
Yes, they have been.
Oh, they have.
And they've been setting up bases along the Red Sea. They annexed the island of Socotra in the Arabian Sea. They've been expanding. What? And over the past 20 years, their military expenditure has grown by 600%.
Okay, one other quick question. We'll move on to other items. What influence would this have on Iran?
Well, that's very interesting. I'm not certain. I mean, basically, the UAE and the Saudis were, of course, united in opposition to Iran.
Yes.
This could lead to a shift there in the Persian Gulf.
We'll pay close attention to this. You're hearing it. You're right. We're not getting a lot of coverage here in the States on that. Tom, let's move to the other issue. Greta Thunberg. Apparently, she's headed to New York.
To address a climate change conference.
And Greta,
now, there's a lot of criticism recently of the celebrity climate change conference where all the celebrities arrived in their private jets.
Right.
She has just set off today from the British port of Plymouth, the same port which the Mayflower Pilgrims left from, on a wind-powered yacht, a sailboat.
Yeah, we call those sailboats here in the States. But a wind-powered yacht works fine.
Yep.
Okay.
It doesn't even have a diesel or gas-driven engine. To get it out of the harbor, it has an electric engine.
Wow.
All the food is freeze-dried. They don't even have gas cookers on the yacht. All the food will be eaten cold. It'll take 2 weeks. It's completely... a green visit.
Who is
to use the minimum amount of power or carbon footprint possible in order to reach the climate change conference?
We acknowledge all those details. Who is paying for this? That is not a cheap undertaking.
I don't know.
That's an important. It's an important
they
story.
Had a big sale. On the yacht, but it didn't say who the sponsor was.
I'd be loved to.
It just simply said. Unite behind the science.
I would love to know that. Greta Thunberg, by the way, is the Swedish high schooler who gained fame by standing outside of the Swedish parliament. Am I correct on that?
That's right. On her own, with a sign saying, listen to the scientists about climate change.
Well, I will credit her in her efforts to travel with the least amount of carbon interruption or carbon footprint. She is someone to be applauded for that. This is great news, a fascinating story. And of course, the event is taking place in New York City. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. We
at the UN.
We will be covering that, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, Tom and I probably have to make arrangements to cover that live. Tom, let's wrap it up with the final issue.
I look forward to receiving the ticket.
Okay. Bee therapy. I thought you were sending me the ticket. The story is bee therapy in Lithuania. Excuse me?
Yes. It's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you take your bed and you put it on top of a beehive.
Uh-huh.
And then you lie down and relax.
And
the buzzing of the bees is supposed to help pain in your joints and any possible headaches and things like that.
And what about
it seems to be working. It's being used in Lithuania.
Okay, what about the pain resulting from bee stings?
That's what I thought. they put the beehives in a hut. And then they seal the beehive so
okay.
they can't get out.
Okay.
And so all you feel and hear is the bees buzzing around underneath your bed.
I can tell you right now, PETA will be very upset about this story. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon, and the People for Ethical Treatment for Animals, and maybe we'll talk the animals and bees, but that bees are animals. They're insects, but be that as it is, I can see that there's going to be an outcry. Tom, as always, thank you for your time, and as always, thanks for this last story. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.